Welcome back into the program, Sports Call on Tiger 95.9 FM and the Tiger Communications app. JJ Jackson inside the studio with Javon Cutler and Brant Daughtry. Every single Wednesday, we take our Auburn Bank phone line up north as we bring on a good friend of the program, Joe Bartle from RotoWire, the fantasy football extraordinaire that he is. Always helps us dominate our fantasy football league. He can do the same for you as well. RotoWire.com/free. Best group in the business when it comes to dominating fantasy sports. He's also on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. Let's talk about his Packers to open up today's show. Did you have fun on Monday night, Joe?
Yeah, I did. The only problem was I actually had to stay home, and my co-host from the Tuesday podcast didn't get my tickets, but somehow was able to go ahead and get to go instead of me. So I had fun watching the game, and you know what? Given it was raining and it would have been like a three-hour drive afterwards, it might have been okay that I ended up not going anyway. I was disappointed, but it might have worked out with the weather that happened at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, a change of plans, because when we spoke last week, you were really looking forward to the first game of the year, but I guess enjoying a team victory while not getting soaked and, like you said, not having the drive after the fact, that's got to be just as good.
Yeah, remember, the new dad responsibilities come at different times. Might always not be the exact times you want as a new father, but you know what? It's okay. Like I said, getting the W from Green Bay was a nice victory to see on TV as well.
What? So Aaron Rodgers made a couple of throws on Monday night that just had me amazed, and I shouldn't be, we shouldn't be, given what he's been able to do as an NFL quarterback in his career. Do you audibly make noises when throws like that take place, Joe, or how do you choose to react?
You know, it's funny you bring that up. I thought there was a couple of throws that he missed, actually, on Monday night. And, I even think back to week one. There was the interception that he threw at the goal line where he got hit in the nads or whatever you said afterwards, the Pat McAfee show. It's like, okay, fine. Great, I get that one. But it was an inexcusable interception that he threw with a single high safety against the Saints that he normally never makes in his career. I thought, you look at the other side, you have Devontae Adams one-on-one, MBS over on the right side. And from the speed perspective, MBS should be able to beat it. But the safety was already cheating over that way, because it's not like Devontae Adams is going to ever beat anyone going deep. And you saw actually against the Lions in week two that did happen. And that was kind of like the, oh, okay, Rodgers is back throw, where we had Devontae Adams for 50 yards. And that was when the Packers were trailing, or at least early in the second half, and they're still kind of getting started. I don't know. We're going to see Rodgers get back to the Rodgers that we normally do. But there were still some times where I felt like he was inaccurate or making some decisions that I haven't seen yet before. And again, against teams like the Lions, that's fine. You're going to be able to make up to it because the Lions aren't very good. But if you look at the Packers' rest of the season schedule, there aren't this many cupcake matchups left. For as easy of a schedule as the Packers had last year, they definitely don't have that this year. And I think Rodgers is going to have to get even more sharp if the Packers have any chance at making a run this season, the postseason.
Staying with the Packers, switching positions, Aaron Jones, a dominant game as well with four touchdowns. Also at the running back spot this past week, Derrick Henry had quite the fantasy day himself. What did you make of those two performances in particular, and did any other running back stand out to you?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised about Aaron Jones against the Lions again. Not a very good team, and I think for the frustrations that we had, and rightfully so, about Rodgers in week one, the lack of running against the Saints was really troubling. That was more of a Matt LaFleur issue, or at least some people thought that. Matt also took responsibility after that dud in week one. And it was clear, at least at times, that Aaron Jones got way more involved. I would look to see A.J. Dillon also be a factor. I mean, for as bad as that draft class looks now for 2 years, the fact that you can't get your second-round running back involved, even when you are running the ball as much as you are, is frustrating to me. But when Aaron Jones is looking as good as he did on Monday night, that's fine. And you're right, the Derrick Henry one is actually more crucial for fantasy managers, because he did not look good at all in week one. And I think a lot of people were a little worried, especially if they invested a third or fourth overall pick. But to see him have one of those classic Derrick Henry games, especially when most of that yardage was accumulated in the second half, that was good. Now, the fact that the Titans offense still doesn't look as sharp as you'd imagine after acquiring Julio Jones, A.J. Brown has been a disappointment through 2 weeks. Ryan Tannehill has not looked like a fantasy relevant quarterback at this stage of the season. Those are all issues that you hope that the Titans fix, and I think kind of got lucky that they aren't 0-2. The fact that they're also in the AFC South, where that division, you know, might be able to win, make a playoff spot either as 8-9 or 9-8, given what we've seen thus far out of the AFC South, that helps things. But I think from a fantasy perspective, Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown, need to start getting whatever Derrick Henry was doing last week and get back on track.
Let's go back closer to where we are down here in the South, Atlanta being our closest NFL team, as we discussed with you very frequently, about an hour and a half up from where we're at here in Auburn. Talking about those Falcons, Patterson finds the end zone this past Sunday, but in the backfield, Mike Davis is someone that I think Falcons fans, outside of the fantasy perspective, have been a little disappointed in, and then that also translates to the points that you're going to get in fantasy football leagues. What's your take on the backfield for Atlanta?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting scenario. Week one, we had the Elijah Mitchell sweepstakes for the Niners. Why he was probably a top pickup, and for a lot of people, they invested 60-70% of their free agent budget in getting him. So he's going to be the starter with Raheem Mostert out. Well, Mitchell gets hurt. Trey Sermon gets hurt. You also have Jermichael Hasty get hurt. And right now, you don't even know who the Niners' starting running back is going to be in week three. So you transition to week two. Cordarrelle Patterson was one of the top pickups, I thought, from a waiver wire perspective. Is he going to score two touchdowns a week? No, I don't think that's going to happen. And if he is like a worse version of James White, that's probably what fantasy managers are looking for if you scoop him off the waivers this week. I don't know. Like I think Mike Davis has to take a downfall if Patterson is to achieve some relevance from a fantasy perspective. And Mike Davis saw 60% of the snaps in week two, saw almost as many targets as Patterson as well. And I think that's where, in a full-point PPR format, you're hoping Davis can be more of that factor from an offensive perspective. Patterson's fine enough from a flex or even as a running back four or five. And I think right now in week two, you still have 15 more weeks to get the season. Getting some of those depth pieces, maybe if Davis were to get hurt, what does Patterson look like in the full-time role? Those things can be relevant fantasy information without being, oh, look, a guaranteed starter like we had with Elijah Mitchell in week one.
How do you feel about your personal fantasy football teams through 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually talking about this earlier today. Normally, I tweet out every one of my lineups, or at least who I have most roster out position. And I do plan on doing that. In fact, if you're listening right now and you're like, hey, you know, what's this bozo got in this fantasy team? I do plan on having the players that I have across my 15 different teams out there at some
whoa,
point.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Did I just hear 15?
Yes.
Two weeks ago, it was 13, Joe, and we cut back. We had the newborn son. We were at 13 before the season started. What happened?
I had some friends that twisted my arm and were goading me into joining the league. I was like, oh, I can do better than a fantasy expert. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you can. And I did just proceed to annihilate them in both an auction and a redraft format. So and that was like personal justification I need to have to be able to smack these guys around and do really well this season. And in fact, in both those leagues, I am 2-0. From a team perspective, I think it's crazy how it all ends up working out across 15 different leagues. I think I'm probably close to around 500 or a little bit above that. A lot of it is weighed down by a few dynasty teams that are rebuilding, or at least in the rebuilding phase right now, like maybe your Atlanta Falcons are. In some ways, I'm hoping my record could be better. But, yeah, it's looking pretty good from a redraft perspective. None of the guys that I was invested in heavily have really gotten hurt. You know, I think the most disappointing thing has been Trevor Lawrence, and I attribute almost all of that to Urban Meyer, and none of it to Lawrence or me being wrong as a pundit who analyzes players. It can't be possible. It's all the coach's fault. He's obviously dumb. And that might be the case with Urban Meyer, but I think Trevor Lawrence has probably been the biggest dud for me thus far, at least from the guys I've invested in heavily.
Can you refer us to any fantasy football fanatics support groups, Joe Bartle?
No, I think if anything, you need to like refer to me again. I've got two more leagues. That was all thumb on my part. Yet my friends knew exactly what they were doing when they were teasing me into it. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Friendly banter. It wins every single time, doesn't it? It's Joe Bartle joining us here from RotoWire. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at @JBFantasySports. I want to give you some love here, Joe, but I know I'm going to forget something because you're doing a million awesome things right now. Give me another rundown and for our listeners where they can find your work.
Yeah, it's been a good career year for me, you know, on top of having my son, which has been fantastic. We've had additional responsibilities from fantasy perspectives. Every Tuesday on RotoWire, we do the RotoWire NFL podcast where we break down waiver wire pickups like Patterson. We mentioned a few quarterbacks as well. Sam Darnold, who plays Thursday against the Texans, I think will be a good pick as well, too. But you can hear all of that on Spotify if you listen to RotoWire NFL podcast on Tuesday. I do the Yahoo Plus rankings along with a few of my other RotoWire colleagues. If you have that platform or are paying for it in some way, Yahoo Plus puts a lot of different rankings out there and kind of does exactly what you'd hope fantasy pros would do and combining different industry experts out there. My rankings are there. Each and every week, I'm actually getting them except for my week four rankings at the moment. Not week three, but week four. Wow. I'm planning at the moment. And then on Fridays on SiriusXM Radio from, I think it's noon to 2 Eastern, it's myself and Mario Puig, my co-host, that we break down every game on the slate. At least we try to. I end up getting way too long-winded, as you probably guys probably know. And we don't maybe get to like 90% or 80% of the games. But go over every one of those games, talk fantasy strategy, go over your questions, things like that. Every Friday from 12 to 2 Eastern on SiriusXM 87 is where to listen to me for.
Thank you, Joe. We'll talk to you again next week, okay? Be good.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on.